Wait, right here.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In a couple of weeks, I was in the store with Doreen, and she found a new shopping partner. How many of y'all know who that is? Praise God. I want everybody to come closer. I want to see everybody's face here. Come on, sit closer. If we had an usher, we'd have everybody putting us somewhere where we need to be sitting. So I want to see. We'll get close. Nobody bites. You know, it's funny. A couple of weeks ago, we were at the store. You know, they were shopping, of course. And here's an interesting thing is I went to the store and I happened to just see this with the armor. I seen the armor and I was thinking about something because we went to Lake Havasu. On the weekend, it was Friday, Saturday, Thursday, whichever day it was, we went to Lake Havasu, and I was thinking about a message, and interesting enough, I went to the store and we found this one book, and it was from Perry Stone. Everybody knows who Perry Stone is, and there was a book that I found, and it says, Penetrating the Cracked Armor, and it was interesting because I seen this, I found this a couple of days before we went out, and I seen this, and I was interesting because I was looking at this, and I said, a cracked armor. Uh-oh. I said, wow. And I began to reflect on the people of God, the church. I began to reflect, and I began to look at, you know, I'm kind of analytical, so I started analyzing some of the trials that everybody's going through. You know, people, cars broken down, challenges with not having a car, getting ready to be evicted, people getting ready to be fired, all different kinds, everybody's going through all different kinds of trials, right? And I begin to wonder what's really going on with the church, with the people of God. And I begin to realize one of the things that the name of our ministry, of course, is Full Armor of God. And I begin to reflect on what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 6, we all know that, and it says, in that evil day, having done all to stand. Yes. And so I came up with this question. Is your armor going to be able to withstand that evil day?
Come on.
Because everybody's going to be forced here to fight an evil day. There is going to be a time that evil is going to come and want to overtake you.
Yeah.
And is there going to be missing armor? Is there going to be cracked armor? Because if there's a crack in your armor, the enemy is going to be able to penetrate it.
That's right.
So what part of your armor is missing? What part of your armor is cracked that the enemy's been able to penetrate? So we need to understand that.
Amen.
Let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and you know, I don't have my glasses, but thank God I can memorize scriptures. Well, there goes that crack down the crack. Okay. Can you move this thing? Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we all know the name of the ministry is the Full Armor of God. So, I mean, what other better topic is for us to have? And I'm going to start off with verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures with you so we can see a couple of things here. And here's an interesting thing. Is I've seen the book with Perry Stone. And because of everything that's going on, I really haven't had a chance to go through the book. But I really think I'd like to go through a series about that. I haven't had a chance really to go through it. But I have a suspicion that what I'm going to share with you is probably in the book. You know, I just believe that kind of way. So anyways, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, and it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil." Okay? It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore with your loins girded about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking on the shield of faith, wherewith you be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereto in with all perseverance and supplications for the saints." Amen? Now, here's an interesting thing that we need to understand is the question once again is, is your armor going to be able to withstand in that evil day? Because you're going to have a trial one day. Everybody is going to have a trial. There's going to be an evil day. And that might be tomorrow for me. It might be for you next week. It might be last month. But everybody is going to have a day when evil is going to come and try to overtake you. And you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared for battle. Right. You're in a battle, whether you like it or not. You were born, whether you like it or not. You came out of your mother's womb. It wasn't your choice. You came out. You're alive. You're here. You're in a war, whether you like it or not. So you're going to be faced with a battle. And my question to you is that, are you ready for it? Are you prepared for it? You have to be prepared. I was thinking about a couple of things. You know, a fighter, they have to leave their family, hey, to go to a training camp to prepare for a fight. They don't want to leave their family. Soldiers go to battle. They have to leave their family behind. They want their family to be there, but they can't bring their family to this danger. But a soldier knows that he's going for a purpose. He's going for a purpose to go and fight for a greater cause other than himself. He's going to protect his family from the evil that's going to come upon them. He's going to protect his country. And so he knows that when he goes, he's going to sacrifice his life. And the scripture tells us this, that we are to prepare for the battle. And so when the soldier goes to fight, he wants to make sure that he is prepared for the battle. Knowing he's wanting to be with his family. He's longing to be with his family. And he has to leave them behind. But one of the things that happens is this. When a warrior gets ready and he goes through training, whether you're getting ready for a fight or whether you're getting ready for war, one of the things that happens is as they leave their family behind, they train, they're getting ready, one of the things that happens is they begin to long, they start missing their family. I wish I could be there with my family, but I can't. As even a truck driver that goes out all over the highways and byways, they want to be there, but they have to do something for a greater cause. Just like a fighter, he leaves behind his family to go into training camp, wanting and longing to be with his family. But one of the things immediately happens is he starts connecting with the rest of the soldiers. He immediately begins to have camaraderie with the other soldiers, and he begins to learn immediately that if I don't click with the rest of the soldiers when I'm there in battle, I can't be calling on my family any longer. Okay, I have to leave my family behind, and I have to cleave on to this newfound brotherhood, the soldiers, and we need to understand that this is your newfound family in war, because those are the ones that are going to be protecting you in battle. Okay, when we come to the church, okay, sometimes not all the family is going to come right along with you. Okay. Your family is going to be the ones that you're in together with the battle. Okay? Because those are the ones that quickly you're going to learn to have to trust. Because when you're in the midst of battle, if you have somebody that you really don't like, that might be the one that might, in war, there's casualties. Hello? You know, in the Vietnam War, a lot of our own soldiers were killing themselves, killing each other, because there wasn't a bond. Understand that the church says that we're supposed to be a bond to the unity of faith. Okay, we're in a battle. Understand this. We're in a war, and we need to quickly, the faster you learn that your family is the one that you're in the battle with, the faster you're going to get along with things. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Now, I want to share, I know it talks about many different elements of the armor of God, but I want to point out to you two things that I think is very important. Not that any of them is not lacking, because believe me, when you're going into battle, okay, you want to be more equipped than less equipped.
That's
when
right.
you're going to go into a fight, you want to take all the auxiliary that you have. You don't want to be undertrained. You want to be over-prepared.
That's right.
So when you're going into war, when you're going to battle, you don't want to leave one piece of the armor behind. All is important, but I like where the scripture says something very interesting. It says, above all. So I want to start with that. It says this.
Jesus.
Above all, taking on the shield of faith.
That's right. That's
now,
right.
Let me explain to you why I believe that Paul the Apostle wrote that. Because number one, let's look at it. When Paul was writing this, he was likening it unto Roman soldiers. And one of the things that the Roman soldiers did when they were getting ready to battle, they began to form a unit, or they would move around in a circle. And the shields that they carried were sometimes like a door. The size of a door. And so they would literally shield themselves in a circle. They would put their face one together in a circle. And so when the enemy would throw the darts, they were able to combat them. All of the shields working in unity.
Yes.
You follow this?
Yes.
Now, here's an interesting thing. It says this. It says that you may be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, it's talking about an enemy throwing fiery darts. Now, let me just explain to you, there was three different kinds of arrows, or what we understand is called fiery darts. One was, obviously, we see the Native Americans usually have an arrow that has a tip pointed like a triangle. Okay, the word literally translated for that is louver. Okay, now that literally means interesting, because when they would literally poke something, they would kill them when they pull it out. Okay, because the scripture says that even the swords that had a louvers, that it was called, they would, when they would stab them, when they would pull it out, is when they would do the damage. What was that? Okay, here's the sword right here. Okay, so just in case you guys don't know.
Man.
This is what they call louvers, okay? And what it does is when they would pierce them, they would pull all of the organs out, okay? And so when we read the Word of God, it says it's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Right. Now, let me explain something. There was three different kinds of swords, and there was three different kinds of shields, and I'm going to go over that. The shield of faith that's talking about that is the most important element of our armor is because this. The shield of faith was able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, there was three kinds of darts. Number one, that had a tip pointed, and it would just go and do damage after they would pull it out. The second one, that they would dip in coal, and they would put a fire on it, and they would shoot it, and it would cause damage when they would hit. It would cause a fire. Now, the worst one was called fiery darts. Now, the fiery darts, what they would do is they would literally split the arrow in all different kinds of places, make little lines on it. And what they would do is they would put some combustion inside the arrow, and then they would seal it. Then they would dip it, and they would put it in a flame. Now, when they would shoot this arrow, the combustion would literally cause the arrow to splatter all over the place. Okay? So it would be a fiery dart, okay? Because they would shoot out like darts all over the place. Okay? So this is why it was important for the body to gather together in unity and hold our shield. Now, let's go on to Isaiah 21, verse 5. Isaiah 21, verse 5. Here we are.
Jesus.
Are we all there? Isaiah 21, verse 5. It says, are we all there?
Yes.
Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Say amen if you're all there.
Amen.
Say amen even if you're not all there.
Amen.
Praise God. Glory. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, it says, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, and arise. You princesses, and anoint the shield. Now let me stop and tell you something why it was important, the shield, above all, taking up the shield of faith. Now it says, anoint the shield. Now let's look at this. For the shields were made out of leather, and it had pieces of metal fragments on it to protect the arrows from coming from it. And he would say, to anoint the shield, because without it being anointed, it would be dry. Okay, and so when the arrows would hit the shield that was not anointed, it would catch fire.
Wow.
Okay, so this is why it's important for you to carry your shield of faith and have that anointing. Okay, because it says the shield of faith. Okay, okay, the shield of faith quenches all of the fiery darts of the wicked. See, some of us. Okay, some of us. The enemy's been able to penetrate your life because you don't have the shield of faith that's able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Okay, so if you're going through a dry spell, guess what? If that dart came and hit that shield of faith that was dried, it's not only going to stop there. If the enemy has attacked you in your finances, he's not going to stop there. No. He's going to keep on going until he consumes every part of you, until the very last breath that you're burning and burning in the gates of hell.
Well, Lord,
that's his job. Okay? So, and your job is to take the shield of faith. And that is anointed. Okay?
Yes.
That's what he said. The anoint the shield of faith. That means praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Ghost. See, so when you're in the Holy Ghost, you're full of water, you're full of life. And so when the enemy throws fiery darts, there's so much of a river flowing out of you that the fiery darts are extinguished. Every time you open up your mouth, it's coming out as a sword. And you're fighting battle. And there's water flowing out of you. So when the enemy comes, when there's fiery darts, guess what? Every enemy dart that's coming at you, it's being quenched. It's being stopped. You're stopping the enemy at his tracks because the overflowing abundance of favor in your life. My God. Listen, there is a shield of favor. Do you understand this? Because I read the word. And I read that Abraham was highly favored after battling five kings.
Wow.
And then he came to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him, and he says, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. So Abraham, already back in the Old Testament, was carrying his shield of faith in the spirit. Combating every attack of the enemy. So my question is to you, what arrow has gotten through? What part of the armor that you're not carrying around with you that the enemy's been able to penetrate in your life? So quit looking around and blaming everybody else. The church's fault, the leader's fault, the pastor's fault. When did you stop picking up that shield of faith and anointing it and walking around all over with a shield of faith with oil dripping all over that people would walk around and glorify? When there is a shield of favor and oil flowing out of it, guess what? People recognize the favor of God in your life, and all of a sudden they want to be all over you. They want that oil to rub all over you. They want to follow you because they know goodness and mercy is following you all of the days of your life. They find the favor of God in your life. Now they're going to follow you.
Hallelujah.
It's time to stop picking up a dry shield. Time to picking up a soaking wet shield with the oil dripping all over the place.
Glory, glory, glory. My God.
David said, guess what? The enemy, look at, the enemy duplicates what God tries to do. He's a copycat. He's a liar and a thief. And look at what David said. The enemy is around about me. But the Lord, is a shield. The Lord is my shield and my buckler. See, the buckler was called the belt of truth. Oh man, see, the world don't want to hear the belt of truth because sometimes the father has to take off their belt. That puts some truth into you real quick. That's where they carry their sword, the belt of truth.
Amen.
That's where they carry the sword.
Amen.
The word of God.
Amen.
Is your armor dry?
Come on now.
Is your shield dry? Sometimes we need a trial to propel our faith. To trust God instead of trusting our own ideology.
Wow.
Let me just share this with you. I'm at the place. This is me personally, so stone me if you will. I believe that the church is growing into the place that I look around and there's leaders, prophets, pastors, the fivefold ministry is here.
Yeah.
And you know, one of my concerns with this, my wife and I, they've been inviting us to go preach quite a bit of places.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned, this is my concern, is that if we go, how are you going to behave? Do you understand what I'm saying? But as I look around, I begin to see maturity. I begin to see maturity in people. Okay, because this is what it requires. We have to build the house of God. We can't be... Look, you're in a war. You don't have time to be crying when you're in a fight. You can't go back to the corner and cry. He hit me hard. Well, what do you expect? You're in a fight.
Hit him back.
Amen.
Time out.
Hey, come on.
Hit him back.
You're in war.
Hallelujah. Warriors. Yes, Lord.
The name of the ministry is full armor. It's not a bed of roses.
That's right. Yeah.
It's called full armor.
Armor. All right now.
Full metal jacket. That's it doesn't mean that jacket. Makes you sissified. I don't understand the church. I, you know, God help me. I don't understand when you've been through hell,
yeah.
ready to jump off the building,
yeah.
ready to smoke your last pipe and take your life, and all of a sudden somebody's preaching too hard and you're there feeling sorry for yourself. Wake up!
Wake up!
You're in a war. Guess yeah. what? Guess what? Listen to me. Listen to me well. Okay? Men, grown men, want to share the bathroom with your children.
Whoa.
And the church don't want to do anything. I don't know, but I got news for them kind of folks.
Right.
I got news for them. I refuse to allow somebody to use,
yes.
a man to use a restroom with my wife.
Yes. That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
Family, hello. I have committed to a task. You know why? Like East LA, they're rioting over there right
they
now.
Are.
I wish I was. I wish I was over there right now.
They are rioting because of that. They're picketing up.
How dare
no
they think
way.
A grown man is going to try to use the restroom with Munchkin?
That's right. Come on.
That's over my dead body.
Come on.
Whoa. That's over. And the church is. The pastor's preaching too hard to me. They're being judgmental. I'm gonna go home and cry. Wake up. Look at where you're at.
Yes, man.
You don't think time is short?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And we're all being offended. They didn't acknowledge my gift. Mm. Well, go out and use it.
Yeah. Man.
I'm a no nonsense guy.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're in war. This is serious.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Just because politicians say it's okay doesn't make it right.
No.
Amen.
Man.
It's still wrong.
That's right.
What part of that in people's brain don't they get that?
That's right.
This is wrong against God's laws. It'll be wrong today. It'll be wrong tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it'll be wrong forever.
Yes.
Jesus.
Listen, judgment begins at the house of God.
That's right.
If we don't do nothing about it, nothing is going to be done about it.
That's right.
Instead of having a feast, we need to protest. And then we wonder why all the children are lost, astray.
Right.
Don't get me meddling, and then I really start. I got some stuff I'd like to say, but I'll just keep quiet. I noticed that most preachers will call me when they want to say something. They're like, I'm thinking this, but I can't really say that. That's too offensive. I'll call Pastor Reuben.
Yeah.
The gospel's an offense.
Yes, it is.
The scripture tells us it is offensive to those that are perishing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you getting offended?
Come on.
Are you getting offended?
Perishing.
I didn't know you got that one, are you? Started quick on that one, huh? But it is the power of God to them that believe on His name. I'm glad I can memorize things. I can't see this little thing anymore.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Written on the card.
Yes.
This is the time we're living in. Listen, church, all of these things are opening up right before your very eyes.
Right.
Understand this. Okay? Look at, there was just a massive quake in Ecuador.
Yes.
7.8. Wow. At least 350 people dead, over 1,000 injured.
Wow.
And it keeps on rising. This is what the Word of God says is going to take place.
Right.
We don't have time to be playing games
no.
in the church.
No. That's right.
It's before your very eyes. You're seeing the Bible come to life.
That's right.
And more than anything is the day you need the armor. Because there is going to come a day There will be a day, an evil day. It will come. Yes. You will be tested. You will be tried by fire. Yeah. And you better be equipped. Okay? Yes. I tell you one thing. If anybody ever fought before, you know one thing is you can train as hard as you can. And then the day when you're walking up into that ring, you know what's in the back of your mind? I wonder if I could have done a little bit more. I wonder if I was really prepared the way I should have. Maybe I shouldn't have been eating those Cheetos when they told me I shouldn't. I wonder if I should have jogged more when they told me to. I should have been up. Okay, the day you go through your trials is the day you're going to start to question whether or not you're really equipped to take on the battle.
That's right. Amen.
Because everyone is going to be tested in different things.
That's right. Man.
Find it not strange when a fiery trial comes among you. Pastor Drew was just talking about that. We are all going to be faced with this trial. Are we going to be equipped? Are we going to be ready? Are we going to be falling asleep?
Come on.
Yes.
Dear, I was thinking about when you were in Haiti, how all those people were not buried. They were all over around you, dead, thousands. And the amazing thing is people were doing witchcraft and Christians are praying. Christians are trying to help there and they're praying.
Look, we're in a spiritual warfare. Do you understand that? Understand this. If we notice a little bit of things in the spirit affect the natural. Do you understand that? When we begin to understand that, we go to the source. Look, let me explain something. The Spirit of God, it searches even the deep things of God. You notice when the winds were coming to destroy Jesus and the disciple on the boat. Listen to me. Look at where discernment came in with Jesus. Jesus did not rebuke the water. He rebuked
the storm,
the wind. Yeah. He went directly to the cause and effect.
That's right.
When Job was going through a trial, when his sheep were gone, his family was destroyed, he lost his body, boils, his family had deceased, he knew that the enemy was doing this. When we begin to understand there is an enemy out to destroy you, okay, not only the whole camp and everything around you you can touch. The enemy doesn't want to leave no scent, no sight of you, totally annihilate you. So he said that your name, the name would be taken off of the book of remembrance.
Wow.
That you wouldn't even be remembered. That's what he wants to do.
That's right.
So let's look at it this way. There was a spiritual battle in heaven. And Satan was able to do these things to Job. There's a spiritual battle in your life.
Right.
That is affecting the outcome of your life today. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it is by the Spirit, saith the Lord. So we're in a battle. Okay, our battle is to bring heaven as it is, like heaven as it is on earth.
That's right.
Amen.
There's no sickness in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven.
That's right.
There's
Amen.
No despair. There's only joy,
Amen.
Unspeakable, and abundance of rain.
Yes.
Everything is prosperous
Hallelujah.
In heaven.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So the armor, you only need it here. You don't need it when you get to the other side. Okay? You only train for the fight. After the last bell rings, it's over.
Okay? Victory.
You might not get a rematch.
Oh. That's right. Knockout.
What is your trial?
Jesus.
What is the fiery darts in your life being able to penetrate your armor? Where's your cracks? Why isn't your shield soaking wet? Why is it dry? What places in your life have become dry that the enemy's been able to get a hold of? Because the enemy looks seeking for?
The devour.
Seeking for dry places.
That's right. Okay.
Come on.
Yes. Amen.
Where is the dry place? Where's the dry spell in your life?
That's right.
What part of your armor have you not polished?
Come on.
Used? Cracked or broken or left it on the shelf collecting dust.
Uh-oh.
Like the NIV you have.
Uh-huh.
Very done. Let us stand.